At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and to his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors."
Seems very fitting to have had that reading after we've had a very pregnant godparent and a teeny tiny baby. I was like, well, we had a sort of enacted parable. Nice. Let's pray together. Lord, as we revisit these stories that for many of us are so familiar, I pray that you'd speak to us in a new way this morning. Amen. Earlier this week, as I sat down to write the sermon for today and thought about this passage from Luke, I found myself remembering a trip to the cinema that took place 35 years ago. I was 13 years old, and my friend and I went to see our first 15 certificate film, oh yes, at the age of 13. We both looked terribly young. The cinema attendant looked at us and said, "Are you sure you're 15? And this is a classic me. I said, "No, I'm not 15, I'm only 13 and a half, but my mum says it's completely fine for me to see this film." And the attendant let us in. Utterly brilliant. The film in question, and this will date me now, was Dead Poets Society. Anybody remember seeing that? If you're in the similar generation as me, you'll be like, oh yes, sister. It's a coming-of-age drama starring Robin Williams. And the film is all about a group of students who go to a highly conservative boarding school, and they are inspired by their new maverick poetry teacher. And he inspires them to learn to rebel against the status quo, seize the day, and pursue their dreams. The boys' parents are understandably very unhappy about this, and the film ends, spoiler alert, with the teacher being sacked. And as he's escorted from the classroom, the boys climb onto their desks in a final act of defiance against the adults, saying, "Oh, Captain, my Captain," a line from a Walt Whitman poem. And it's a sign that their spirits will not be crushed and they won't lose that lesson they've learned. I get a tingle up my spine even thinking about it now. As a 13-year-old, I sat in the darkened cinema with tears pouring down my face, using all of my self-control not to stand on my flip-up cinema seat and join them in shouting, "Oh, Captain, my Captain." And for me, the film spoke to me in a hugely powerful way about the experience of growing up and the things that you stand for and making your life count for something that really matters. It resonated with me, who at the time I'd just become a Christian. My parents were not particularly supportive of that. I felt this strong sense that being a Christian was going to direct the future course of my life. It did! Yeah! So it was really powerful. It's one of those hugely formative moments. I wonder if you have ever had a moment like that, where you have watched something or listened to something or read something, novel, film, poem, piece of art, piece of music, piece of theatre, maybe you heard a political speech or even a sermon, and it spoke to you in a powerful way. One of those times where you just think, yeah, that's what I want my life to be like. I find that today's reading from Luke chapter 1 has a similar effect on me as did Dead Poets Society. Verses 46 to 55 are often referred to as the Magnificat, the Song of Mary, and it's the song that she sings in response to her pregnancy. And as we heard in our reading, she's visited by the angel Gabriel, and then after that she goes to stay with her cousin Elizabeth, who was also pregnant. And Elizabeth responded to Mary's surprising news with joy, and she affirmed that the child that Mary was carrying was the long-awaited saviour. And so Mary celebrates in song. She sings about who God is, she sings about what God has done in the past and what he will do in the future through the child that she's carrying. Let me read again some of the lines of her song. This is the stuff that makes me want to stand on my chair and say, "Oh, captain, my captain. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones." This is timely with the news from Syria. "Has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty." It makes me want to cheer that passage, because that's the kind of world that I want to live in. Mary presents us with a grand vision of what God is coming to do in Christ. It's a vision of revolution. God bringing down rulers, unjust rulers from their throne, crowning Jesus as king, overthrowing the existing social and political order, establishing his kingdom on earth, a kingdom of justice. I find it stirring stuff, even talking about it now, I can feel I'm getting really excited. And you can tell I'm still the 13-year-old, in fact, full of these amazing ideals about the world that I want to live in, that I believe is possible. Now, this time last year, when this passage was read in church, I had an interesting moment. As it was read, I found myself wondering, so where am I in this reading about pulling down the rulers and feeding the hungry and sending the rich away empty? Here am I, ready to leap on my chair and cheer the downfall of rulers, and yet, hey, I'm someone who has a leadership role in an institution that has had some very public failings recently, and last year, and the year before, and the decade before that, and the century before that. And whilst I applaud the rich being sent away empty, relative to the vast majority of people in our world, I am the rich. Uh-oh. So I'd always understood these words to be not about me. And all of a sudden, last year, I don't remember who read it, I thought, I love this passage. This is fantastic. What if this is about me? And maybe you. If I am part of the status quo that I want to see overturned, what does this mean for me? A few years ago, I did a course all about conflict. And as part of that course, we had to do an exercise to help us as individuals understand the power that we hold as people. It's sometimes referred to as a privilege walk. Some of you may have done it in your workplace. All the course participants had to line up at one end of a tennis court, and then the leader would say, "Take one step forward if..." And then they would read out certain things. So, for example, take one step forward if one or both of your parents went to university. Took a step forward. Take a step forward if you almost always see members of your race, sexual orientation, religion, and class widely represented in the media in a positive way. Yeah, white middle class woman, heterosexual, take a step forward, okay. Take a step forward if you almost always feel comfortable with people knowing your sexual orientation. Take a step forward. Take a step forward if your household employs someone to help with cleaning or gardening. And so it went on, probably 20 questions. After 20 questions, the course facilitator just said, just pause now and take a look around at the other course participants and see where you're standing. What do you notice? What I noticed is that in a group of 24 people, there was only one other person ahead of me, and I was way ahead of the other women on the course. It was a visual demonstration of the power and privilege that I have. And here's the thing. I was quite surprised. And I was quite surprised because I thought, but I didn't go to private school. I went to a comprehensive. That's not privileged. And I didn't even go to university in the normal way. I'd study part-time. I didn't go to an institution and have my parents pay for me to get drunk for 3 years. I had to pay for it myself. It was a salient lesson to me in thinking I thought I knew where I was positioned in relation to everybody else in the world, and yet here I was, literally stood out front, all of these people behind. It was a way of learning, wowee, I have a lot of privilege and a lot of power. And that's why these words from Luke 1 have become increasingly challenging to me. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. This is the kind of world that I want to live in. This is the transformation I want to see Jesus bring about. So how do I relate to a vision like this, as someone who, it turns out, is indeed part of the rulers and the rich? And I think the answer I've come to is that I need to be part of making this vision a reality, using who I am and what I am and the skills I have and the role I have to do this work. I'm on the governing body of Trinity School, which is just round the corner from here. It's part of my role as vicar. And last year we did some training on equity as part of our work as school governors on race equality. And in the training, we were shown two cartoons. A number of you will have seen these cartoons or variants of them. In the first cartoon, there are three people, tall, medium, and short, and they're all trying to see over a fence. And they are all standing on boxes of the same size. The only one who can see over the fence is the tall person. That picture is labelled equality, because everyone has the same size box. In the second picture, we see the same three people. This time, all of their heads are at the same level, and all of them can see over the fence. The difference is they're all standing on different sized boxes. The tall person stands on a small box, the medium person on a medium sized box, and the small person stands on a tall box. And the second picture is labelled equity. I love the revolutionary vision that is described in Luke 1. And maybe the way that I bring it into being is by standing on a chair and cheering, but by standing on a chair that is smaller than other people's chair. And maybe I need to make sure that the taller chairs go to other people who can't currently see over the fence. I think there are people here in church this morning amongst our regular congregation, and God wants you to have a taller chair in this church. If your heart is beating a bit faster right now, then I will suggest that God is speaking to you. That actually there are other people whose voices need to be privileged, whose experiences need to be heard and put at the centre. And like I say, that means I take a smaller box or chair to stand on, and other people need a bigger box to stand on so that we learn what it is to be in someone else's shoes. I love the vision of God's kingdom that Mary gives us. It's one of the reasons I'm a Christian, because I love the vision of the world it describes. And it does take me right back to being 13 years old, sitting in the cinema, tears pouring down my face, full of hopes and dreams and ideals about changing the world. I hope I never lose that. I want to be about making my life count for something, for a world that matters. So I guess this morning I want to say, let's stand on our pews and make Mary's vision a reality. And some of you, when you stand on your pews, I've got a box to put on the pew and you need to stand on that so you can get your heads up a bit higher. I'll have to do a risk assessment first, of course. I hope you found these words this morning as challenging and inspiring as I have.